Thank you. And up next, we have Rita. Rita, hello.
Thank you, Dr. Ben. Fantastic information, Ms. Pamela Popper. I really appreciate. I'm a nutritional professional. And what are your thoughts on the short-term use of the FODMAP diet in the IBS? And also, there are the professional-grade supplement companies like the Metagenics, Integrative Therapeutics, and some others who have done the disease-specific, you know, the different strains and the species. So have you heard of, or do you use them? Because this is what we are giving to the patients, and we'll need to know your insight. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, first of all, the FODMAPs diet just doesn't have any efficacy. And again, if it worked for the IBS patient, it is an IBS. Okay, so, but the problem with the FODMAPs diet is that what you end up with is in the susceptible population, which is the IBS patient, that these are short-term studies. And remember what I said earlier, that the IBS patient gets better on any diet for a while. Okay, so if you tell the IBS patient, listen, we're going to put you on a green bean diet. All you're going to eat is green beans. And I'll tell you, every patient I've ever had come in here with IBS, when we fed them green beans exclusively for 6 weeks, they got better. Here's what will happen. The IBS patient will say, I'll try green beans. I'll try anything. I got to get rid of this stuff, right? And they will get better. They will get better on green beans. Now, you and I both know there is absolutely no physiological mechanism to explain somebody getting better on green beans. They actually should get worse on pure green beans, right? But they don't until the placebo effect wears off, and then they're back to square one. So you have problems with the FODMAPs diet, and that it is totally not quantifiable. So just think about the confusion that would exist, because nobody knows what level of FODMAPs restriction is needed, and you don't really know the FODMAPs, specific FODMAPs quantity of food. So just think if people came here and we said, we're gonna show you what the research shows about diet and health. And we said, you know, you need to eat plants and don't eat so much animal food, and you should, you know, eat some fiber. And well, people say, well, how much fiber? You know, some. More is good. Well, how much? Lots. All right, well, how much plants? Lots, you know. I mean, you couldn't possibly structure a diet with all this nebulous stuff. And that's essentially what the FODMAPs diet looks like. So we have lots of people here who tried the FODMAPs diet and said it worked for a while, just like the other 12 diets I tried. Classic case, that proves my point. Here's what I say about supplements in general. All right, and I don't know, you listed some. You know, what you want to look at is, I treat supplements like drugs, all right? What does the research show in terms of benefit, in terms of risk? With probiotics, it's a little bit different because you don't have the classic adjustment or alteration of enzymatic pathways and that sort of thing in the body. So, but for other supplements, you have to look at, there's something going, if it has an effect, there's going to be a side effect. That's the case with drugs. So do you know what that is? Can you live with it? Is it worth it? And sometimes the risk-benefit ratio says, yes, do it. Sometimes no. Sometimes you don't know the side effects. That might make some people nervous, other people not. But the whole idea that it's natural, so do it. I mean, poison ivy is natural, but I won't be laying in it tomorrow. You know, so we can't just conclude that natural is always better.
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Popper. Up next, we have Julie. Hi, Julie. What's your question for Dr. Popper?
Dr. Popper. Oh, let me just see. There I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate your explanation of the psychologically driven symptomatology. And it sounded like PTSD symptoms almost. Where functional neurology, I've known that functional neurology treats PTSD. And I was wondering if you had used any functional neurology along with your other treatments to help this condition.
No, what I found, I've been greatly influenced by one of my business partners, Peter Bregan, the psychiatrist who has argued against drugging people for his entire career and then very involved in that. I've looked into, you know, one of the things that's a hallmark of what we do here is looking at causation, because causation drives solutions, okay? And here's what I think about psychological conditions, and I think there are rooms full of evidence to prove it. Psychological conditions result from a situation in which circumstances and coping skills are completely disconnected. And that can be because of PTSD, it can be because of a lot of things, abuse, right? The more disconnected, the more severe the situation. So you've got a spectrum from, I feel a little bit bad to I'm psychotic. I've had a complete psychotic break from the world because I can't deal with it, right? So if you want to treat the cause in this situation, you treat the thinking disorder. And by the way, I'm not talking about somebody's right or wrong in what they think, but if I'm afraid of invisible people in the room here, that's a thinking disorder. So we got to find out why it is I'm hallucinating, why I've escaped into an alternative reality. If I am overly depressed about something, if I've never resolved issues from things that have happened to me, if I have distorted thinking, I think nobody loves me, nobody's ever going to love me, I'm a total failure, I can't do anything right. This is disordered thinking. And how you resolve disordered thinking, and this is the beauty of cognitive therapy, is it helps people understand the difference between what they're thinking and reality. So if my boyfriend breaks up with me and I'm whining about, nobody's ever going to love me again, nobody loves me now. I mean, I'm using a simplistic example here. The cognitive therapist says, wait a minute, you say nobody loves you? Well, how about your best friend? Well, she's my best friend. How about your dad? Well, it's my father. Well, but you see what's happening? We're chipping away at my distorted thinking to draw me into thinking realistically based on what's actually happened. Now, there's more to it than this, but the cause of psychological disorders is this distorted thinking. There's a wonderful book. I can't remember the name of the guy who wrote it, Byron something or other. He's a psychologist at in Pennsylvania. He wrote a 700-page book on schizophrenia and talked about how he brought, you know, psychotic people in a complete psychotic break from being confined to a mental institution to being chairman of the department at a university by assessing their distorted thinking and bringing them out of it. Whatever trauma caused that in the first place, resolving. So I think that we could simply, I'm a very point A to point B, let's make it a straight line. And keep things as simple as possible. And the low-hanging fruit is usually the thing you want to focus on.
Thanks, Dr. Popper. Up next, we have Laura. Hi, Laura. What's your question for Cam Popper?
Hi, Dr. Popper. I'm a big fan of yours. Thank you so much for doing this lecture. I have, I guess, a sort of IBS. I was bloated most of my life. I went through a lot of trauma as a child. And I guess I developed bad bacteria from eating foods that probably affected me and didn't know it. And I went from one doctor to another. And then in the later years, like maybe about 8-10 years ago, I was told I had SIBO. So I went on a SIBO diet. And the SIBO diet was okay for a little while, but I still had problems digesting fats. I got very frail and thin. I was like 88 pounds, ended up in the hospital, actually more for psychological reasons, because I think I had a break from what you're talking, being so low in calories and restricting my diet made everything worse. Then I got put on medication that I'm trying to get off of. And if I could have the name of that psychiatrist you mentioned, that might be a way to start with that.
Well, you can go to Bregin.com, Bregin.com. He only sees patients who can see him in his office in Ithaca. And I don't know how much of that he's doing right now. He has a new book coming out that I think he's been busy writing. In terms of SIBO, you know, we have a 57-page paper on that in our library. And we've concluded that this is another thing that's become the name for other when you're dealing with poor diagnosticians that can't get to the root of it, because the tests are incredibly unreliable. And again, this is, I'm not saying there's nothing going on. If you've got a gut problem, you've got a gut problem. You tell me you've got gas, I believe you. If you tell me you're bloated, I believe you. If you tell me you're in pain, I believe you, okay? The question is, what's really going on? And we have, I'm a critic of the conventional medicine for disease mongering and making up diseases and treating people for things they don't have and all that sort of thing. But we got just as much of that going on in the alternative crowd to a certain extent too. And we got to take ownership of it. I'm not the only person saying it anymore. There are some others who are speaking out and saying, look, we have to own up to shortcomings in all branches of healthcare and get focused on things that make people better. If you're trying to come off of psychiatric drugs, this is doable. But Peter Bragan has a great book out called Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal. We also have some courses that we offer here based on that book, in which he provides some online lectures and that kind of thing. But he's a big proponent of the team approach, that it's difficult for a person to do this on their own. So you need a therapist and a prescriber and a team around you. And this can be done successfully if the planning is right. But don't just jump off the cliff and stop taking these drugs. That does not work out well most of the time.
Thanks, Dr. Popper. Up next, we have Jess. Jess, let's see if your microphone is working this time around. Hi, Jess, if you can. There we go. Hi, Jess.
Yes. Oh, hi, Dr. Pam. Thank you so much for the brilliant work you do. And this is my question. What do you recommend to detox from pharmaceuticals and radiation?
Well, the first thing you have to do to detox, your body will detox every day if you treat it right. All right. So a high fiber, high water diet composed of health promoting foods, very low in protein, low in fat, and exercise, get rid of the body fat. I mean, this is all the stuff you do to detoxify, and then you clean out every day. And I tell people all the time, you want to be on a 24-hour cycle of cleaning out your body rather than, I'll clean out this week and then I won't worry about it anymore. Because think about if you managed your house that way. When it gets really appalling and the health department's going to come in, I'll clean up. But in between, I'll just let it all go, right? So you want to be in a cycle of every day doing things that help your body detoxify. In terms of radiation, we're all exposed to radiation. The question is how much damage it causes. And I don't deny that it causes damage, particularly from x-rays and things like that, which means that you should only get them when you really need them, right? But I hear a lot of people fanning the flames of fear about radiation and some other things that I think need a more objective look. I'm real cautious about things. I mean, I think it's easy to make, if I wanted to have a YouTube video go viral, I could say a lot of sensational things right now without actually looking into it. Like I would have some proof, but not much, and not the typical deep dive that I take into things like what I just showed you. It would make me popular, but it wouldn't necessarily be accurate, you know? So I think that we need a better look at some of this stuff to determine what kind of radiation damage people really have been exposed to and how much it's actually responsible for people's health problems. You know, I'll say this, humans have been exposed to all kinds of contaminants for as long as we've been on the planet, and we're not as fragile as some people make us out to be. And so another topic for next time.